It's time to hack the movies.
Joanna, you've known me for a long time, and you know there's three things I love: Netflix, anime, and video games.
It's all you ever talk about.
Well, I got great news. This week's episode is sponsored by Arcane, a Netflix original series from the creators of League of Legends.
No way!
It will be an action-packed show that follows the characters Vi and Powder, born under the city of Piltover, and the events that take their relationship to the brink.
That sounds awesome. How long will the story be?
It will be a 9-episode, 3-part series. It's sure to be the animation event of the year, and it will intertwine stories focusing on the characters Vi, Jinx, Hammerdinger, and Jace.
Tony, I have never played League of Legends because I am bad at video games. Will I be able to enjoy the series?
Don't worry. Whether you're a longtime League player or you're brand new to Runeterra, Arcane serves as a perfect introduction to the vast world of League of Legends, focusing on the origins of some of its most iconic characters.
I can't wait to dive into the stories behind one of the most played games of all time.
You will discover the secrets of Piltover and its Undercity, and prepare for the epic battle that is only just beginning.
Arcane is now streaming exclusively on Netflix.
Oh my god, Doug and Brad came back to the store.
It's been however long it's been.
It's been so long.
I was so moved by the last one. I wore the exact same clothes.
It's good.
I usually do that anyway. And I did sleep on the floor.
For some reason, I'm still in the Halloween mood and I'm wearing my trick-or-treat motherfucker Halloween Resurrection shirt.
And Seinfeld, that special Seinfeld Halloween episode.
Yes, yes. So reboots, guys.
They usually suck.
Yeah, a little behind the scenes here. We're filming this the day that the new Scream, I guess it's the sequel, but it's basically a reboot. The new Scream movie was announced and the trailer for Home Sweet Home Alone came out.
Oh, is that what it's called? Okay, I haven't seen these
yet. When I saw that title, I was like, I perked up a little because I remember that slasher movie, Home Sweet Home.
So it could be exactly alike.
No, at first I thought it was like, is this like a horror reboot or something? And then I was like, oh, it's on Disney Plus? Probably not. I'm like, okay, yeah. Just Home Sweet Home Alone.
So it's a reboot. It's another kid in present day gets stuck home alone and I guess they couldn't get Macaulay Culkin back, but they got his brother.
They got Buzz, dude.
Yeah, Buzz is back. He's a cop now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. I haven't seen this trailer. I do kind of want to see Buzz again.
I know, same.
Wasn't he in The Tick? Was he one of the guys in the new Tick show?
Oh, was he?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I don't
Which
remember.
Actually, that brings us to today's topic.
Hey.
Okay.
Nicely done.
So there's a lot of bad reboots out there right now. We're all getting kind of sick of it. But I thought let's try to be positive for once. Let's try to shed some light on like some good reboots that are out there. Because there are some good ones. They often get lost in the shuffle. Some of them are hits, but some of them kind of get like ignored because everyone's like, whatever, reboot, don't care. And it's like, no, there's some good stuff here. It's in a sea of oversaturated shit, but you find good stuff.
I will say when I was looking them up, I'm like, because I was a little bit more optimistic, but I was looking through, I'm like, wow, yeah, there really are a lot of good
But we're going to try our hardest, and we're going to come up with some. Brad, would you like to go first?
Yeah, Casino Royale, I'll put that on there. Like, I did the same thing before, and I'm looking through, like, a list of reboots. So, okay, this one's pretty good, this one's pretty good. I could probably talk a little bit about that one. Oh, I'm a big Bond guy. Yeah, Casino Royale. That was, because it was, it really is, it's, the Daniel Craig ones really are their own universe. And, of course, that one being based on the first Bond book, it was showing the beginning of him becoming 007 and sticking to the plot points of the books, because even the other ones, while they might have their own vibe to them, they would still kind of reference some of the other ones sometimes, like his wife Tracy Bond gets brought up in License to Kill and in the Roger Moore one, For Your Eyes Only.
Yes.
It gets brought up.
That's where he kills Blofeld?
At the very beginning
of it. It's like, that's how the series arch enemy. Oh, we're just going to kill him.
dropping him in a smokestack.
Yeah, right before the credits. And it's like, oh, well, Peter Jackson took that for Hobbit 3. He's like, hey, you know that dragon?
Mm-hmm.
We're just killing him before the opening credits of the third movie. It's like, oh.
Oh, is that how it opens? I never did see the last one.
Oh, yes. Yeah, literally.
The second one turned me off too.
They kill him like before the title sequence. It's like, oh, okay.
They're really building that up in the previous film. Mm-hmm.
They really were. Two previous films.
What are they doing the rest of it? They play poker? What do they do?
This is kind of fight.
Okay.
Anyway.
It was the battle for Endor of its day. It's like, we have the family in the first one, but then the second one, let's kill off the parents and everything. They'll have the kids hang out with Wilford Brimley for the rest of the movie.
Ooh, can that be on the reboot? The Ewoks movies?
Yeah, dude. Well, there was a caravan.
I think those are
there
just,
was lots of courage.
I think those are technically just spin-offs. They weren't
but I liked
to...
them more than Rise of Skywalker.
Well, I did.
Not fucking hard,
Doug.
But yes, Casino Royale, because I remember... The James Bond movies were getting kind of like, at that point. I love Tomorrow Never Dies. That's probably
I did too. Tomorrow Never Dies.
Everyone shits on that.
What? I think because the next two are pretty bad.
Yeah,
people
just lump
assume,
them together.
Yeah,
but I thought it was a lot of fun. Michelle Yao, right?
Yeah.
She was fucking
really,
great.
Really, really good.
The remote control car that he had in it too. He could drive it from the back seat.
It was awesome. But Die Another Day. Again, that was another like anniversary one. I think.
Yes.
So they were trying to like celebrate like all the previous Bonds, and it kind of started to feel like an Austin Powers parody of Bond at some point.
Yeah,
going back to Rogers a little bit.
Yeah, but like they went a little too hard, like the invisible car. It's like, nah, I get what you're doing, but this is a little too extreme. Okay, space mirror laser thing, and also the. So I'm glad Casino Royale is like, all right, let's kind of get back to basics here a little bit. You know, the gadgets aren't super crazy, but they're pretty practical. I like the defibrillator he has and the bomb on the flashlight and whatnot.
I mean, let's talk about what everyone remembers that fucking torture at the end.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
The torture we can relate to, like, hardcore.
Yeah. I think every woman watching is like, what? But every guy is like, oh, Jesus.
No. We're getting rid of all the ropes in our house. For some reason, we have a lot.
I was going to say, Brad, why do you have a lot of ropes in your house?
Well, it's not to hit my own balls anymore.
Like, that movie ruined it.
We go to Brad's house. Daniel Craig's just like, help me. I like how the torture was a little grittier and stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong. This in another movie that I think you're picking did kind of give other producers like the wrong idea. Like, well, everything needs to be gritty and edgy now. It's like, no, not everything. It's just working for this thing. Mm. But yeah, Casino Royale, that I felt like really invested in the character again. Were you one of the people who screamed that his hair wasn't the right color?
No, I was glad that it was getting back to being a very different, because it was kind of doing what Living Daylights did back in the day, which was, in this case, it was off of Die Another Day. And then when Living Daylights came out, which was the first Dalton one, and it was a couple years after View to a Kill.
Yeah.
And I do love View to a Kill.
Love it. I will never say it's a great movie, but it's a very enjoyable movie.
Yeah. And then Living Daylights goes back to being very much darker and grittier, but still it was still technically in the continuity, I guess.
Yeah,
Dalton's did also reference his wife, so it is kind of funny that
and like Felix Leiter gets his like leg bitten off or something and whatnot, which is why he's not in the Pierce Brosnan ones. They replace him with Joe Don Baker's character,
which would have been funny if Joe Don Baker was still his character from Living Daylight,
where he's a bad guy.
He's
right?
The bad guy. Like, he changed his ways. They're friends now. He calls him Jimbo.
When I first saw it, I was having just seen the No Time to Die, when I first saw Casino Royale, I didn't like it. I was kind of like a purist to like, oh, Bond can't get dirty. He always has to wear a tux. You know, like, and I thought Craig was too much of a sourpuss at first, but now knowing where everything goes, I really want to see it again. I want to see if I changed my opinion, because he really does have an arc.
It's a real arc
in the movies.
Yeah.
Like, he's not the same Bond in that movie that he is in No Time to Die. So I really want to see that movie again. I get the feeling I'm really going to like
you,
it now.
You are. Trust me. You will definitely like it again. I really liked what they did with the gun barrel sequence in the beginning.
Yeah.
I thought that was really creative, and I thought the other ones would find a creative way to do the gun barrel sequence, and then they didn't. I think Skyfall and Quantum of Solace put their gun barrel at the end of the movie.
this one kind of puts it at like the beginning of the third act.
Well, it does.
No, they have it in the opening. I forget.
Yeah, because he's fighting the guy, and then like you see when he shoots him, and it turns into the gun barrel sequence.
Yeah.
But I still haven't seen No Time to Die. Do they just throw it in the beginning?
It's at the beginning, but then there's a shot later on where he's in a hall that looks kind of like the gun barrel.
Oh, that's cool.
And he turns and does that. It was a cool shot.
But yeah, no, it was very refreshing. I think it's what the series needed. And since it was Martin Campbell who did GoldenEye, which we covered recently, I like that he brought elements from his previous reboot in there, like Judi Dench. Yeah, I'm sorry, Dame Judi Dench. yeah, I thought she was a really, really good holdover from the previous one. But that was a good pick. Now, I haven't seen, I mean, they fumbled the second one a little bit. Quantum of Solace kind of sucked.
It was pretty boring.
And everyone involved with it will admit that it sucked. Like, I think Daniel Craig, because it was during the writer's strike, Daniel Craig actually, like, wrote some of it. And he's like, I probably shouldn't be writing.
Yeah, it felt like they were trying to turn it too much into a Bourne movie. And I'm not a huge Bourne guy. And so I'm like, I don't want James Bond to be Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
But it is, I'm such a Bond guy that Quantum of Solace is in that category of me where it's like, okay, if it's a Bond marathon and it's on television, I'll have it on in the background.
And it's also, they did the whole thing where they're like, there's some legal issues with Spectre, so here's Quantum.
Oh,
and then Spectre came back, and they were like, Quantum worked for Spectre. And
it's
like,
no, they didn't. Aha, that's it.
Palpatine made Snoke. That's what That's what it felt like. but yeah, like Casino Royale, but also like how that whole series, like I liked Blofeld in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dressed like an asshole, but I guess Blofeld always dresses like an asshole. I like that they brought back his cat. I wasn't too into Skyfall. It seemed like it was embarrassed to be Bond at some moments, but then Spectre kind of turned that around for me, even though a lot of people don't really like that
one. I'm with you. I do like Spectre.
Yeah,
I wouldn't. It's not like I'd put it in my top 10 or anything like that, but it felt like when that movie came out and it didn't get as good of reviews as Skyfall, that means it's bad. No, it's just not one I'd put top tier.
And I like that it was having fun again, because like Batista had the metal nails.
Yeah.
Because all the bad guys usually have some kind of scar, except for the guy in Quantum of Solace, which was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, because he's so internally scarred. And it's like, all right.
They saved on makeup budget with that gimmick.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, shut up.
And I really like Skyfall. I think these are really working. Like this can actually really turn out good.
And I hope you guys both said No Time to Die was good.
Yeah, I really like it.
Okay, well, I'm going to see it. And if it's not,
we're going to get a call.
I'm going to call you guys. And I'm going to be like, you're fucking liars.
It's a snake in the mailbox.
Get a call, you got to hang up. I'm like, that was Tony.
It's your time to die for lying. I'm like, oh no.
You're going to actually hack our movie. Just your face on everything.
It's going to like... You're going to be in your studio, lights are going to fall, and then it's going to cut to me like Blofeld. I'm like, it was me. I'm the instrument of all your pain, because you lied about that one movie.
Anytime a flight flickers at the studio, I'll be like, it's fucking Tony, man.
But anyway, Doug, what would you pick as a good reboot?
I'll say, even though it's very hit and miss, I'll say the Dark Knight trilogy. Particularly the first two.
Batman Begins.
Batman Begins.
I have the novelization here.
Yes, the illustrated novelization.
Yes, which is very, very condensed.
Oh, actually, they really draw him like a Batman kind. He has like the blue cape and everything. That's actually
cool. No. They included,
was that a later one? Oh, okay.
They included just bonus Batman stories.
Oh, that would have been cool, man.
But they do like the whole story there.
They draw the whole thing like the animated series. I really liked, of course, we're coming off of like, you know, Batman and Robin and stuff like that.
Which is similar to yours.
Yeah.
And remember, those movies came out kind of close to each other. Like they're 2005, 2006. They were like right back to back pretty much. But yeah, you're right. It was real cheesy, so they had to like go the other direction.
And you think, oh man, like why can't they go back to the dark and gritty stuff and everything? And this came out, and when I first heard what they were going to do, I wasn't a fan of it. The idea of like showing how Bruce Wayne becomes Batman, where did he go after his parents were shot and everything. And I always liked not knowing. I liked the mystery, but what I like about it is that they said, well, if we're going to do this, let's do it really well. Let's really explore this. Let's really show we get the idea of what Batman's about and the idea of the legend and the psychology and all that stuff. And it's really one of my favorite origin movies.
Yeah.
Honestly, to a point where The second half really can't match the first half.
Yeah, that's a problem in most Origin
yeah,
movies.
Weirdly, it's kind of like Iron Man that way. It's like it bizarrely kind of gets less good when he becomes the superhero,
yeah.
When he actually has the mask on.
Because then you know, it's like, okay, well, now he has to fight.
Well, and he has the silly voice. I'm Batman. The costume never quite looked right.
In the first one? Yeah,
any of them, in my opinion.
They tried. The first one, it's the first time the mask isn't connected to the shoulders, but it was still too thick, so he couldn't move too
the
much.
Nose always looked a little long and stuff like that. I'm just like, okay, if I saw Keaton, even with that yellow bullseye on him, I would still shit myself. Yeah. Where with him, I'd be like, you're cute. and you also get too many villains. You don't give enough time to the Scarecrow. That's like, cinematically, could be the coolest villain.
I think they did Spider-Man Homecoming did a good job of putting a ton of villains in, but realizing like, okay, only one can have like the main focus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not like this and Spider-Man Homecoming are kind of in their own thing where it's like, yes, there are two Shockers in that one, the Tinker, like this, they have Mr. Zazz, they have Falcone.
Yeah. They do balance a lot of them pretty well.
And Ken Watanabe is pretty much Ubu from the comics, who's Ra's al Ghul's guy.
I wish they just got rid of Scarecrow and saved it for another movie. Because thinking about it, if they just made Ra's al Ghul the main villain, I think that could have worked. Because I didn't know that going in. He says, I'm Ra's al Ghul. I'm like, how are they going to do this? Like, because I know this guy's story. How this is supposed to be more realistic? I thought kind of the workaround was pretty clever. It's like, is he immortal? And there's always one around.
They did
everything.
A good job of like referencing like what you know from the comics and working it. And this does have because Christopher Nolan's a big James Bond guy. He kind of went in with that mindset where it's like, okay, this is the real world. But it's the real world in a way where, like, James Bond is, like, the real world where there's still crazy science stuff, but it's not, like, super over the top, except for maybe Christopher Walken's Nazi genetic baby who might also be part horse.
Yes.
and you're right. I do like how they do the origin stuff. We were talking about Batman 89, and there's a line in there.
That's my favorite.
Because the writer only had one pass on that before the writer's strike happened, and that's why, like, the third act doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, Batman's like, I suddenly have a plane. I'm going to machine gun everyone now. Cause like, I guess whoever they handed the script off to like didn't care. Cause Sam Hamm actually wrote comics and then they gave it to two people in England. They're like, I don't know. It's the '80s. How does everything end? He just shoots them.
Yeah. I don't know. The Joker killed him now. Yeah,
there's like a part in that where like, you don't ever know why he picked bats in that movie. And she goes like, why bats? And he goes, they're great survivors. And it's like, that's not a fucking answer. And then I'm telling him, like, wait a minute, bats are endangered. Cell signal messes with them, and they go, they're like the fucking worst like, in my area, bats are kind of endangered, so we got an explosion of spiders to pick up their slack. Like, this is the worst fucking excuse.
But that's what I like, because the first one, what I really like about 89 is that the Joker's out there, and he's wild, he wants to show everything, he's announcing he's coming. Batman's in the shadows, a lot of his backstory's in the shadows, so if they did that again, it wouldn't have worked, so they went the exact opposite direction while still keeping it pretty dark and, you know, a little more grounded, but it's still Batman. It's the guy dresses up.
And of
like
course, they did work in like him falling into the pit with the bats and stuff.
Yeah.
And
so if you're going to do it all the way. Really, really dive into it. You know, show him like healing, you know, in a sense of while he's fighting and stuff and talking over with Raj while he's training and stuff like that. All of that is like really great writing. Why does he turn into a superhero or whatever? Because the city's corrupt. And he talks about, you know, as a man, I can't do anything, but as a symbol, I can last forever. And it's like, this is good writing, and it's very true.
And we all agree the third entry is the best because I'm in it.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly.
It was really building up to me.
He was the judge at the asylum.
Is it weird he's the villain that makes it in every movie?
Yeah, no, that's pretty funny. But yeah, so I think it was a good way to reboot that. I think modern reboots for me, if we're going to dip into TV here, I really liked the new Lost in Space, which is now going to end with the third season. Have you guys seen this?
No.
I haven't. I've seen the original.
Yes.
I saw the movie.
I've seen the 90s movie.
The original.
Spy.
Yeah, dude.
They had a toy of that at the convention.
Oh my god, I wish I could see it. I bet it's horrifying.
By the way, I mentioned this in a previous episode, that this novelization, this like junior novelization used to piss me off because it included deleted scenes where they find the yellow alien grown up.
I miss those books. Those big, but I mean, maybe they're still a thing. I don't know. I went for like Batman, Indiana Jones, Roger Rabbit. I love
Temple
those.
Of Doom, but I remember got deleted shots in it.
Yeah, and I'm just like, wait, where the fuck was this? I never saw this. No, the new Lost in Space. I gave it a shot because I'm like, I'm a big fan of like the original, like when I was a kid. It was the more childish Star Trek, obviously. Yes. Not great. Doesn't age super well. And then I was a big fan of this movie growing up.
Oh, really?
It beat it was the first one to be number one after Titanic.
Same thing. Not great. Didn't age really well. Mm-hmm. But no, the new Netflix Lost in Space, I actually really, really like. I think it captures the whole like sort of family friendly aspect of the show. Like, if you know, we're a family, we got to work together. Yeah. You actually feel like they are, because they are legit like lost in fucking space. They land on like an awful planet. I like how they merged. So in the show, they had the robot.
Yeah.
And then they had like that little alien thing for a bit. And the new show kind of merges it where it's like this alien robot.
Hmm.
And like they do work up to the Danger Will Robinson thing. And they
you can't have anything lost in space without that.
He's with me.
Danger Will Robinson.
The robot is actually really good with him and Will Robinson. You like really feel invested in their character. And it's just a really, really good series that I don't think a lot of people are watching.
Up for three seasons. I mean,
yeah, that's true. But no, because I have a lot of friends who watch Star Trek, and all they do is just bitch about how awful Star Trek is. And I mean, they're right, but
yes.
And I'm like, yeah, well, like, you realize there's just like this really good sci-fi show on. And like fucking Shang Tsung from Mortal Kombat plays a minor character in the original one. He's like,
oh, I love that dude. He's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like really, really, really good. And
you might have won me over with that actor. Now I really want to see the show because I love that actor.
Yeah. And it's not just the family, too, by the way. There's like a whole colony that's kind of lost. So it's like everyone kind of working together. And then there's a mystery, like, what is the alien robot? Like, what is his species? And there's like a whole thing there. People really got pissed when they announced it because they were like, Dr. Smith's a lady. And everyone lost their shit, apparently. I'm like,
more like ruined in space.
And I'm just like, and I looked at it and I'm just like, guys, I'm like a big Lost in Space guy, and even I can't really care about this.
I didn't know Lost in Space had such a fan base that enough people would get offended at it.
Doug, it doesn't. People just wanted to bitch. People just wanted to bitch. And I get it's annoying when Hollywood does that once in a while, but I was just like, you know what? I'll give it a shot. I gave this piece of shit a shot.
Yeah.
I owe it to the Netflix one.
This is nothing like the movie.
And then I watch it. So it's Parker Posey. And the funny thing is, she's like kind of.
She's fun.
She's like a con woman in the show who, like, you know, she basically steals her sister's fucking ticket to like the spaceship and everything. So she's like a master, like the original Dr. Smith. She's like a master manipulator to the point where she's not actually Dr. Smith. A fucking doctor dies and she just takes his name tag and no one questions it. So she's just pretending to be the doctor when she doesn't know shit.
And that I could see people being upset about because it's like, well, it's not even like a doctor character, the blah, blah, blah. But it sounds like they make it work.
No, it works. She is like the highlight of the show. She is fucking awesome.
She could be over the top, like Blade Trinity. Like she can go really over the top. It's like a crazy.
We actually covered recently the Josie and the Pussycats movie, which I had never seen until last year. And it's fucking great. And
I still haven't seen it. Everybody says that. They say
because I was
legit pretty good.
Because I was with you. I was just like, oh, this is kind of the tail end of making an old TV show, like a movie and stuff.
But everyone says it's pretty good.
Oh, it's 100% self-aware pair. Like, this is like a modern, like, this is like an underrated classic. That's a good reboot. I mean, it wasn't successful, but it was a good reboot. But no, the new Lost in Space is like really, really, really solid, and everyone needs to check it out. And Parker Posey's great in it. Like, stop it, relax. They're like, oh my god, woman, Dr. Smith, no.
Well, it's like over 3 years later. I'm assuming they've calmed down now.
they've calmed down.
Never and then like forget.
One of the kids is like adopted in it, so she's like not white, and people like were bitching about that. And it's like, guys, relax. It's a fucking. It's fine. It's fine. I guess one other good reboot I think we wanted to talk about, Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah.
So you really like that one.
Well, okay, so I adore the original movie. Mm-hmm. I love the book as well. absolutely hated the Zeta Jones remake, despite it had Zeta Jones in it.
I've seen your review of that a couple times. Really.
Yeah, no, but the original is just so good, and this is a reboot that really understands like the ideas and just the misery and the tragedy of the book. And like when I heard about it, I love that director, Mike Flanagan.
Flanagan, I think he's one of the best modern directors. I feel bad I trolled him.
Did you really?
Okay.
Are you blocked?
No. It is like the best interaction I've ever had with a blue check mark guy on Twitter. So, a little side tangent. I guess this also counts as a reboot. Dr. Sleep. Did you see Dr. Sleep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed Dr. Sleep, right? Now, they have like every ghost from The Shining show up in it, except for one blowjob dog suit ghost.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes. So, I went on a little bit of a tirade. I was constantly tweeting him. Like the weekend it came out, I tweeted him all the film's accounts, the studio. Like, how dare you leave out blowjob dog suit ghost? Hashtag we want dogs. And I just kept doing it.
I made this costume to go to the movie premiere. Yeah, he's not even in it.
I just kept doing it because I'm an asshole. And then I'm like, I'm not getting enough attention. How do I do this? And I'm like, so I guess I might have scared him because there's people who do real complaints like this.
That is awesome. I love that you did like multiple accounts.
I'll build up to how I got him to actually respond to me. Actually, it was funny. Someone retweeted, because it was like when rental reviews was so gone. Someone like retweeted me. They're just like, absolutely no one. Tony from Back the Movies. Where's the dog suit? So I finally, and I thought this was a little low for me, but like, let me try it. So I'm just like, dear Mike Flanagan, by leaving the dog suit blowjob ghost out of the Dr. Sleep, you are trying to erase furries. This is a clear example. And I said, like, this is a clear example of fur erasure or something along those lines.
Fur erasure.
You were trying to shave the furry. Defur the furry.
So what gets better and better as it goes along.
So what I'm guessing is Mike Flanagan saw it and was just like, all right, this guy's clearly being a dick. But if this whole, like, I'm erasing furries thing takes off, this is going to be a problem. The movie's already not doing well. So he had the best response to it. He responds, it's like, oh, he's in the movie three times, but he's below the frame of the camera. And I'm like, that's fucking hilarious.
Like, he's going down on somebody, right?
That's perfect.
That's great.
Mike, I would have settled for, oh, yeah, one of the ghosts in the scene was just him out of costume. I would have settled for that, but he went with the jokes.
No, but under the camera.
He's below frame is on. I'm like, that's God
great.
Damn it.
And then that's great.
And then to be a dick, I photoshopped the dog into scenes from Dr. Sleep. But like,
no, you sure had like just his ears. Like, again, he's going down on like the cameraman.
But anyway, sorry. Haunting of Hill House.
No, that was far more important.
Sorry about that. Haunting of Hill House. It is actually funny how, like, plot-wise, it does not follow the book. And it takes super liberties with it. However, it captures pretty much all the themes and all the important stuff.
Yeah, that's what I like about, I mean, to a point where it's like characters will have like, you know, well, yeah, there's Cleo or whatever, or Theo, but it's like, you know, yeah, well, that's not like in the book, but she still like captures the same essence of that. It's almost like in a parallel universe, like someone told this, like, and you know, it just got mixed up a little bit.
Yeah. But I understand why he did it, because again, that original movie is super close to the book. Like almost.
Yeah. So why would you do it again?
And then they did do it again. And they're like, what if the ghost was like a CGI shadow?
It was like the fucking
roared?
Haunted Mansion. Yeah.
Yeah. I do love the look of that 90s haunting, like that house and everything.
It's a good house.
Looks cool. It's a cool house.
Yeah.
But one thing real quick is that, cause what do you think of the ending to Haunting of Hill House?
I thought it was fine. I know people have
problems. I fucking hated it. But I found out this is one of those shows where literally the last second could have saved it. And I found out, I guess, I can't give away too much, but that they literally show like a window at the end, like everything going on, and it panned up and there's a little window like it's that room where people like fantasize stuff, so it's like none of this is really happening, but they cut it out at the last minute. Somebody is like, no, it's too depressing. But it's like that, if they had just that 1 second, I would have loved the shit out of that ending.
Yeah, it was it got way too monologue heavy.
Yeah.
There were
yeah.
like 12 in the final episode. Like, when it gets to the halfway point and they but start I was, another one. I'm like,
I was oh so God. On board at that point. Like, I got like real, like, I was not expecting it to like it that much, but I was real into everything Mike Flanagan had done up until that point.
He's so good, man. Yeah.
Like, the fucking. The origin to the prequel to the Ouija movie is
it's
great.
So good.
What the fuck was that? It was so good. And I'm like, yeah. And I love how they told him that, like, hey, you don't have to connect it to the other one. That's fine. And he's like, no, I feel like this would be good practice to connect to this piece of shit
yeah.
film.
You know what he does, too? I have a thing where, like, in horror films, like, they try to give a green tint to everything. I always stand by there's not many scary green places. There's scary green things, but there's not many green places. He's one of the only horror directors where it's like, it can still be scary, even if it's, like, all green, because I just never found that color scary in a film.
You think Matrix is scary, bro?
That's what I'm saying. At least that's supposed to look like other whirly the green letters
make
and stuff,
sure to get the 4K restoration of the first Matrix film because they got rid of the green color correction.
They did really
no because really? The blue because the first movie doesn't have the green throughout the whole film.
Yeah,
like there are scenes that are green, but the previous Blu-ray release, they wanted it to look like the later movie, so they color corrected to look green.
Oh,
but the 4K release has the proper color
that's
correction.
I remember it looking green though in the first film. That's so funny.
That's probably because for years you've been watching that like version of it. Mm. So
Oh, you know, you might be right. Yeah, yeah, you're right. So they changed it recently. Yeah. Okay, that's
don't
so funny.
Get the 4K.
How am I supposed to know if they're in the Matrix or not if it's not green?
Don't get the 4K of Lord of the Rings because he color corrected it to look like The Hobbit.
I did see that.
It's
yeah.
orange.
Nope, not doing it.
And the original color correction though, like in Fellowship, when they're in like where Cate Blanchett is, you know, like it, now that we do like editing and stuff like that, you look at the color correction. It's like, oh yeah, I used this filter. Oh yeah, like it looks weirdly flat now. Now the other movies, they you know evolved even more. They got better, but it's weird watching it now because like we know these color correction techniques.
But yeah, Haunted Hill House. I thought that was a really good way to like tell the story from the book, but in a completely new way.
Yeah,
super character driven. Like I cared about all the characters toward the end.
There's that whole episode where it's just like a funeral done in one shot. Like my stomach turns watching
it's like
that.
It's like four shots, but they're all uninterrupted shots.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah.
No, that scene is great.
Yeah, like I'm just watching that. Like you just really fucking feel like you're at a funeral and like and then like when you really see the ghost there like watching like in the background stuff like that, I'm just like God, I am just like uncomfortable watching this like in the best way, in the intended way.
And I like that they weren't distractingly obvious celebrities and stuff, so you kind of like, because you know if there was like a George Clooney or something in there, like a big celebrity, like I didn't really know who a lot of these actors were, so I kind of got more invested because I'm like they look like they could actually be a family.
And then it's fun to look him up because it's like, oh shit, that's the kid from E.T. oh my God, he's so good.
Let me see here. How do we end this? We're gonna go. So that was really fun. You know, it would be a fun reboot.
Sad.
If I reboot you two right now and replace you with someone else. Wow! What a seamless transition. I've rebooted Brad and Doug into Johanna and Crystal.
Sorry, guys.
I can't believe people were like, wow, that just happened so seamlessly. And everything is the same except for you two. I'm wearing the same thing. The store looks the same. And anyway, now that I've...
I should have put on a bald cap. You know your overhead lights are on too, right? Is that why it's so hot in here?
I don't know. Listen.
Lighting's totally same.
Listen, ladies. Now that you're here, well, first off, I want to say two things. Okay?
You do.
Fake out character arc. Fake out.
Where's the clappy?
Character
she
arc.
You already wiped it off.
I wiped it off.
Oh, you piece of poopy.
Just wanted to point that out.
For some reason, it comes out as arch. I mean arc. I've been literally have been studying acting since my freshman year of high school. Went to a performing arts high school. I know what a character arc is because it has been ingrained into me. For some reason, when I say it, it doesn't come out that way. My brain doesn't work. Right, sometimes words come out.
Someone
not the way that I think them.
Did someone isolate Crystal saying my brain doesn't work right sometimes? Anyway,
it doesn't.
I'm glad you guys are here. We were talking about good reboots because there's so many bad reboots, and I wanted to highlight good ones. What you call it? Brad brought in the new James Bond movies with Daniel Craig. Doug talked about the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yeah.
But the third one's pretty good, right? Oh,
it's the worst one.
Yeah. There's like this little cameo in this stadium scene, and the character just seems so far, like, just seems out. Like, it's just this one extra that you barely see, and it just doesn't seem right.
Yeah. I agree.
How many Batman movies have you guys been in?
I was almost there.
Exactly.
Almost there.
I talked about the new Lost in Space, which I think is really good. Have you guys not seen that one either?
Lost in
Space? Parker Posey is really good.
Nope. Oh, I do love Parker Posey. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And then we talked a little bit about Haunting of Hill House, which I know you like. I still have not seen Midnight Mass.
Really?
So
many people I know hate it too.
We were supposed to review Midnight Mass, and then October happened, and I did not have time to watch Midnight Mass.
I thought it was pretty good. I heard it was good. I think it's good, not just heard it.
Yeah, but now that you guys are here, I want to know what are some good reboots.
I guess
Ghostbusters 2016, is that a good one?
Absolutely not.
No. No.
I'm sorry that I am now a misogynist for saying so. No.
You know, I think the all-female reboot of Hack the Movies, that was not a good reboot. I was strongly against it.
I don't know. A lot of people think so it was.
But anyway, Crystal, you go first.
Okay. I will say my first one's probably... I like the It reboot. Okay. I think It had a pretty decent reboot. I think that there is such different type of horror going from the original one into the 2017,
The first one. Yeah, 2017,
yeah. So you got the 1990 one, which is the original with Tim Curry in it, and I think it's such a great suspense. It's like a classic. It really is a true classic horror. You don't see gore. I'm a big gore fan. I love gore, blood, nudity, all that other fun stuff. But this one.
I don't.
No one's shocked at that one.
Yeah, well, I know. You like. Never mind. I'm not going
boring.
Into that.
Oh.
What we were talking about earlier.
Oh.
I'm going to see if I can get a brand deal with that company.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
Think the first one was such a classic horror, and there was such suspense in it with the music, the way it was directed, the colors.
Do you mean 2017 or the original?
The original.
Original.
The original, I think, the suspense. I think it was such an amazing horror film because they played off pure action and story.
Yeah.
And it was such a thriller, even though it wasn't even meant... It was a TV movie, right? And then they actually were able to reboot it into a totally different type of It, where it was more about special effects and a different type of horror.
And you liked that.
Surprisingly, I did, because I think it did well when the first one kind of played into a larger story, when this one was more to the action. I think you have two different types of horror, and I can appreciate a great story put into two different perspectives. Yeah. And which is what I like about good reboots, is when you don't just copy something. It's not a complete duplicate. It's you actually do something with a different type of idea and different type of
It is based intention. Off a book, so you're allowed to copy some things.
But have a different direction. Have a different idea.
I will say I did like the 2017 one. I like that they focused on just the kid part.
Yes.
Had they stuck to that, which I'll get to. But my only problem was the loud sounds and musical stings for every scare. I thought the scares were creepy.
They were creepy.
Like when you first see Pennywise in the sewer and his eyes glow up, that's cool. It didn't need the dung. Every single scare had to have a loud sound. Like, they weren't confident in their scares.
I'll agree on that.
Although the one that really did creep me out is when the projector's freaking out, and
that
then
was
suddenly
my favorite.
He's like giant and he looks like a big dog thing. That one actually
That was my
me.
Favorite scene was actually the projector scene. I thought that was fantastically done.
And then for me that falls apart with It Chapter 2.
I agree.
Yeah.
It Chapter 2, I agree. The first one was good.
I would agree on the good reboot of the first one. The second one is when they did play into the adults. And I know I've seen it, but it's way more forgettable than the first one to me.
Well, it was frustrating because it's like, all right, we're going to separate the stories.
I didn't like.
Because the book and the original movie, it's going back and forth.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's like, okay, you're going to separate that. Good.
I like,
but
yeah.
Then the second half, they're like, oh, we're also going to flash back to when they're kids a bunch. And it's like,
yeah.
What was the point of separating? Like, what the, why? What was the point of this? And then they went real into the horror comedy part. Like, and like Bill Hader was
so much CGI.
Yeah. Bill Hader was too funny.
Like that movie shouldn't have that much the fact that you have a clown, a horrific clown. I don't think you should be having some type of comedy
and a homophobic clown. Do you remember that? People were really mad that he was making fun of Richie for being gay. And it's like, well, yeah, he's a demonic interdimensional space spider that likes to
mess
mock
with people's
people
fear,
and like
and that's their whole
purpose.
He loves
horrible people. Like,
yeah.
Remember?
Like, why should he be
you're messing like, with people's yeah.
The Babadook stuff, whatever, and then they tried to make Pennywise also like a gay icon thing, and I'm like, can we not do that?
I
don't know if the interdimensional
love Babadook. I love the Babadook. I really liked the movie.
I think
it was great.
Babadook, not Babadook.
Whatever.
Why? Stop. I will speak the way I speak. I will say words the way you know what I'm talking about. Okay. All like right, I said, my brain doesn't make words right. Okay. Like, sorry, you know what I mean?
Is your brain like a chef throwing things together?
Yes. I said this in a tweet before.
There we go. That's it.
Yes, that's what it is. And I said this in a tweet before. My brain. So I have really bad like ADHD. And my brain.
I need to face him the other way. He's really creepy.
Oh, so don't say what it is. We have a mask that's just in the corner.
Yeah.
On a dummy, and the mask was just aimed toward us.
I've been looking off at it.
And apparently it's good. I love how Michael Myers isn't scaring you.
Michael Myers or the Gomez mask. There's so many masks in this room.
I see him like all the time though. I don't see that all the time.
Anyway,
so I said this in a tweet before where my brain moves way too fast for me to function. My brain right now is on like 30 other stories ahead of me. My mouth is trying to like catch up. And my brain's trying to catch up with what I already thought. That's how it happens. Sometimes when I say words, it's a different word or I say it differently. Like, but you know what the fuck I'm talking about.
So the point is, you like the homophobic clown. You're a fan of it. You support him and everything he stands for. No, that was so stupid because now they're trying to do it with Michael Myers. With the new Halloween Kills, they said he was homophobic for killing the two gay characters. It's like,
which
wait.
Makes no sense. He's an equal opportunist. He doesn't care. He just kills people.
I'm like, it's literally been 12 films, and these are the only gay characters that have ever been killed.
But what about, like, he kills a dog? You actually see the dead dog in that one, too.
Yeah.
You see
he kills
the dead
everyone.
Dog? You
really
see everyone's dead. He kills kids.
I feel like people just complain and complain.
The only thing we've seen him not kill is a baby.
You see kids, though.
But he won't kill babies. In 2018, he walks right by a baby.
He does walk by a baby.
Yeah. But yeah, I think he's open to everyone. I don't think... It would be weird if Michael, like, broke into the house. He's like, I'm sorry. I respect... Love is love, and I respect everything about... It's like, okay. Thanks,
but he did
Michael Myers.
You know what? He did post them together. You know what? I think the opposite. Because... There's the couple in the beginning where they literally, he made a knife art out of the guy's back and he just let them kind of suffer.
But the gay guys, he put them together.
He put them together and played their music together.
If you would like to hear us talk more about Halloween Kills, we have a review for it.
Oh my God.
But let's continue. Yeah, so chapter two, I think they went too far on the comedy.
I agree on that.
It was weird. The one kid, what was it, Mike? The one who stays in the town and grows up in the town. Like in
why
he one? Originally was the one who did all the research and then they switched it to the fat kid in the first movie. But in the second chapter, they switched it back to Mike. I'm like, why did you make that initial change?
Mm-hmm.
I like that they worked in some of the interdimensional stuff. I would have liked to have seen the turtle.
Yeah. There is a lot.
Get a turtle. I really wanted the turtle. They hint to the turtle. But I wanted the turtle.
Okay, Tony.
The turtle.
One good thing they did do, they
not
figured
totally
out
enough for the turtle.
Yeah, we have a review for that too, Master of Disguise. I like how they worked in the spider, where he's not full spider, because that was the problem with the Tim Curry one. He went full spider, and it was a barely moving animatronic, or just the worst stop motion. So I like that even though he was all spidery, it also he kept some of the clown form. So it's I thought still, that was pretty good. But yeah, 2017 was good. I just wish the second chapter was as solid.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see. It wasn't horrible, though.
It wasn't horrible.
No.
It'd be interesting to see them re-edit it as one long thing that goes back and forth.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Yes. What other reboots do you like?
I want to hear.
We can go back and forth.
Yeah,
what reboots do you like, Johanna?
I'm going to go with The Punisher.
Yes, the Netflix one.
The Netflix one, yes.
You got to be very specific because they
I know there's a Ray Stevenson and then yeah,
there's well, they did Dolph Lundgren.
Video games.
There's Dolph Lundgren in the 80s. They did one live action movie and then the Tom Jane one.
Yes.
Then Ray Stevenson, but you were talking about the Netflix.
Yeah, what's it?
Which he started in Daredevil. John Bernthal, yeah.
Yeah. The only thing really though, so like I think the first season's great and solid. Second season, not so much. There's a little like
second season could have did better.
Yeah.
But no, the first season, I really like how they established him in Daredevil.
Yeah.
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 Which by the way, that's a good reboot. The Netflix Daredevil.
The Daredevil, yes.
Literally perfection.
Yeah.
All of every season. I don't care.
Defenders was a little weak, but other than Defenders, that, it was pretty
yes,
good.
Yes. I'll agree.
I am annoyed he didn't wear his devil suit in the third season, but it's fine.
I did really like
it made sense.
Yeah.
But. Rosario Dawson. Anything with Rosario Dawson in it, I'm like, it's already amazing.
Yeah.
It's already amazing.
But yeah, no, Punisher is really, really good. I liked, what's his face? I liked Jigsaw in the first season. And you're like, oh, he's so pretty. They kept talking about it. Oh, he's got such a nice face.
Barnes?
I think so, yeah.
His name, whatever. He is very attractive. Isn't he was also in the
Prince Caspian?
Yeah, I was going to say. Prince Narnia. Caspian.
Someone reminded me of
Mr. Thomas.
Someone who wants to be on the show, they were talking about movies to cover, and she was like, Chronicles of Narnia, because in high school, everyone thought I looked like Mr. Tumnus. It's the only time I was ever compared to James McAvoy. Never again. Yeah, only when he
never
was
a, will be again.
Only when he was a, shut the fuck up. Only when he was a goat man did I look like James McAvoy, I guess.
Maybe.
My hair did look like
Tumnus. I've seen Young Tony.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Punisher was pretty good, but I didn't like in season two where it's just like, so season one, Jigsaw's face gets fucked.
See, I don't know what you guys talking about. I've never sat there and watched a full any Punisher stuff.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, so. Season one, Jigsaw is a character in the comic whose face is all fucked up and stitched together.
I'm going to look up pictures.
So season one, he shoves his face in the glass and wrecks it.
On the carousel because of the mirrors. And he literally is like, it's not even just like shoving his face in. He's literally pushing his face up against like the cracked glass and then shoving his face down. So dragging his face. So his like, cheeks and everything tatters.
But then season two.
It's like nothing.
They change their mind.
But you know what? It reminded me of fucking Last Jedi.
Yeah, where
Kylo
they move.
And all of a sudden, like, it's not even that bad.
Yeah,
and then, like,
see,
it's, like, barely there in the third one. And it's
yeah,
just like,
in Force Awakens, he gets cut here.
Yeah.
And then in Last Jedi, they switch it to here. But, yeah, no, so Jigsaw gets his face fucked up, and then they're like, no, it should be about how stitched together his psyche is. So just put a few stitches
but
on his face. Like, but his face was through a grinder.
I know what character you're talking about now, but that's his whole thing behind him is that his face is completely fucked.
They wanted it to be more about his personality, but they decided after they messed up his face.
Yeah, but also like the
You wouldn't get that character then. I don't think anyone would know who that character is at that point. Cause that's,
they literally know it because they say it.
Yeah.
Stupid, besides
but
that.
I think that's another thing with, just like the Netflix series in general, there's not a lot of like magical stuff.
I mean, technically it is in the Defenders universe. So there is, it just doesn't show up in the Punisher.
Yeah. And it's not as much as, like the actual like Marvel Cinematic Universe where it's like, oh yeah, like Wanda's a fucking witch type.
And I like that they updated the character because in the character, he's in the comics like a Vietnam guy. So they updated it to like the War on Terror and whatnot.
I like because there
are people who like joined the military and they're like, yeah, I was just guarding some like field and stuff. And it was kind of shady. I didn't really think I was serving my. So I like how the show kind of touched on that a little bit.
I do have to say, though, I think of like all the Punisher portrayals. Mm-hmm. I think Ray Stevenson probably did the best one of the actual character.
Yeah.
Lincoln like,
Jim ruins that movie, though.
Yeah. The scene with the, was it the freaking bazooka thing? And he like catches him in the air. And
that was funny.
Holy
that was
shit.
Funny. Yeah. That was a good reboot. Ooh. I would have liked to have seen more of that, but.
Yeah, but.
No, but John Bernthal is good. I did like how they worked in the skull, but then he barely wore it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's his whole character. That's mainly, like, you say he Punisher, and then that's, like, that's the image I think of is the skull.
Yeah, he wears it on tons of people's cars. End of Daredevil season 2. He wears it in the Punisher show at some point. But then he, like, stops being the Punisher, but then he has to be the Punisher. It's a whole thing.
Oh. Also, the chemistry between Frank and Karen. Oh, God.
Which one was so- Karen?
Jessica from True.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, my God. They never smooch, but I understand why.
Because she's with Daredevil, right?
No, I think they were supposed to be a thing, and then it just never, I think it, happened, but then it never actually, went anywhere after that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, oh, my God, that fucking elevator scene.
Remember that one? Which one?
They're about to kiss, but they're not gonna kiss. It was more intense looking and stuff. Whatever. It was after they were all after him, and he's pretending he's gonna shoot Karen. Whatever.
Oh.
And she's totally knows it's completely fake. Yeah. She's I'm fucking safe. Whatever. But oh no, help me! Yeah. And then they get into the elevator, and he literally just drops the gun right away.
I did feel bad for the PTSD guy who was manipulated in the first season of Punisher.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of hard to watch. It was good, but it was just man, this is a little realistic. Yeah. Huh?
What happened?
There's a guy who's suffering PTSD, but he gets kind of manipulated into doing some terrorist stuff.
Oh, no.
He's taken advantage of by the bad guys and whatnot, and it's a whole thing. Yeah.
I don't like that.
I mean, yeah, it's what happens. But yeah, so the Punisher has to deal with that. So they work in a lot of real world stuff. As very critical of the war and what happens into it.
I can appreciate it though at the same time.
Yeah. It's funny though, because the show is so grounded and realistic, but the first time you see the character is in Daredevil where he's shooting zombie ninjas. It's okay, so we went from zombie ninjas to deep PTSD stuff. Okay, I feel like usually it goes the other way. We start realistic and then we go crazy, but whatever. But yeah, that was a good pick, Johanna.
Thanks, Tony. We should continue with yours, which is Daredevil.
Oh, I was just tagging on to yours.
I thought you were just going to talk.
I mean, we can talk about Daredevil's also good.
Yeah. I like Daredevil.
I went back and read some early Frank Miller comics and stuff. And
Frank Miller's fantastic. And the artwork in his comics. I agree.
You never stop talking about Holy Terror. You said you read it every night before you go to sleep, and it's your favorite
book.
Sometimes
I wish he doesn't talk. I get he's the host.
You said you like Frank Miller.
Can we just one day just tie him up, duct tape his mouth, and be like, yeah, Tony's
here. He's
here. And then we'll just have Jessica just edit that he's talking, and then we just pretend that's his voice.
I'm sorry. I thought you liked Frank Miller, but I guess you're a liar. I'm sorry. Anyway, I feel like the first...
Jessica, we need to talk.
I feel like the first season of that show really, got the character right.
It was slow, though. I don't know.
I didn't think it was fine. I like the black suit. I was critical of the black suit at first because it reminded me of the live-action Incredible Hulk made-for-TV movie, Trial of the Incredible Hulk, which was Daredevil's first appearance in live-action. He was wearing the black suit, and it just looked bad.
Mm.
But it grew on me. Yeah, so I really liked that. I like how it set
black
up.
Black suits, for some reason, look good. Superman's black suit, I really like, which also made sense to, the sun and all that other fun stuff. But for some reason, black suits, I think they're sexy. That's all I gotta say.
Okay.
That's all I had to say.
Who's the actor, Vincent, whatever, who plays Wilson Fisk?
Oh, Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I thought he looked the part. I didn't like the way he played Kingpin.
I fucking loved it.
Nah,
he had a weird awkwardness about it and he.
Yeah, but he sounded constipated. Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin sounds constantly constipated.
Sounds fine to me.
It just sounds.
I love him. I thought he was probably literally the highlight.
He gets better.
Really?
He gets better.
Yeah.
I think he was the highlight.
Oh my God. I love him.
Yeah.
Really?
I even the supporting characters in that better than the previous ones.
Is it Avocados at Law?
Yeah. I like that. It was just overall solid. I didn't like his first Daredevil costume, but they fixed that in season 2. Had too much black on the face.
I don't remember that.
It's just the second one, his helmet breaks, so they give him a redder helmet, and it actually looks way better.
Yeah.
And then that's the one he wears in Defenders. Defenders was a letdown.
Yeah.
Defenders was so
good. It was.
That was so unfortunate.
Yeah. It could have been really good. Oh my God. It could have been so good.
I think my issue was because it was Iron Fist.
You know what? Iron Fist season 2 was not that bad. They actually turned it around.
The girl's fucking fantastic.
Yeah. But even he was better in season two. The Iron Fist season two, I thought was more people should have watched. It really made up for the first one. It was actually solid, but no one watched it.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think I've seen season two.
I still have not watched The Last Jessica Jones because I knew it was getting canceled before it aired.
It wasn't bad. I enjoyed
Jessica Henwick.
Oh
yeah. Oh my God, Jessica Henwick. Oh my God.
She's hot, and also, holy shit, she carried every single one of those
seasons. She's in the new Matrix movie.
She was also in Game of Thrones, unfortunately, but at least it gave her some exposure.
She was in Force Awakens.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, wow, I'd like to see more of her. And then they said, here's Rose Tico. Anyway.
You didn't see the end of Jessica Jones? You see the last season?
I didn't.
Really? Well, did you see any of Nick Cage?
Luke Cage.
Or Luke Cage. I don't know why I just said Luke Cage.
No, I saw
words.
I saw all of them, but then it was like, as soon as Luke Cage season two was done, they were like, we're canceling all of them.
Yeah.
So Jessica Jones came out and I'm like, I'll get to it eventually. And I just never got to it.
It's okay.
But
I think the beginning of it was good. And then as the season was going on and I was like,
the good news is these characters are probably coming back because the non-compete clause, because they licensed them to Netflix. And then they stopped making them. So there was like a 2-year non-compete. And I think that's expired. So people think Daredevil is going to be in the new Spider-Man. And Punisher might be showing up in a movie.
They would be stupid not to continue.
It would be cool to see. Like, how did Punisher and them deal with the snap? That would have been weird.
I want more Jessica Jones.
I do too.
I want more.
But I want more to it.
Daredevil.
Yeah.
I want more Punisher.
Iron Fist?
No. Unless it's just Jennifer Henwick taking over as the Iron Fist, which would be so much better.
She became something else at the end. I forget what it was. She became like her own superhero.
I watched the first season and I was just like, the second.
Oh, you should give season two a chance. It's fine. Well, back to you.
I will go with my favorite horror movie series, all that fun stuff together, Evil Dead. Ash vs. Evil Dead. So I love all the Evil Dead movies, all of them, including the remake.
Which we've covered on the show.
Which we've also covered. I was expecting to hate that and ended up loving it because they did make it their own, which is what I do love. Oh my God. The frickin' Evil Dead series, Ash vs. Evil Dead, was so goddamn phenomenal. It was a fantastic mix.
Who was that hot girl?
DiLorenzo.
Yes, we met her. Yes. There. She is so great.
I mentioned in the other episode, but I did a tweet where I was like, you know, I was single at the time. And I was like, you know, I've been single for a while when I'm crushing on a girl and buy a Funko Pop of her. And then she retweeted it. So then I printed out that tweet and I got her to sign it. And we did a video together. And I think
where's her signature at? What'd you do with it?
I have it at home. But I think,
it's above his bed.
She was like flirting with me in the video. Uh-huh. So like, I think we're dating. Anyway. But yes, Ash vs. Evil Dead is
so goddamn good. So phenomenal. Every way freaking possible. Yeah. Every single season. Usually as seasons go on, I tend to hate it. Like, I usually get bored very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. They were all so great and they kept the story going.
You have not seen this, have you?
No.
Yeah.
It's pretty so good.
I've been meaning to. It's literally on my list of things to do.
You can binge
it. It's on Stars, right?
Yes, maybe on Netflix still too.
Whatever.
I think it was on.
I saw it on
Netflix. I have like everything. So
yeah,
but it's a great binge, and it's a fun binge. It's not going to wreck your brain. Like,
wait, was it Evil Dead 2 when I was like super hungover?
No, I know. Okay. No, I know what you're talking about. And actually,
Captain Morgan tattoo.
Actually, this is an example of a bad reboot. Well,
there's so many bad ones.
So there was one night where Johanna just got belligerent and just could not stop throwing up. I had to like hold her hair and everything.
She actually washed my hair. I was like, oh, you're actually nice.
What?
She had puke all over her hair.
But you actually did something nice?
Well, I wasn't going to leave puke in her hair.
Right? I was like, oh my God.
I am shocked at this. Like fully flabbergasted at this. Like,
anyway. So I wanted to, it was late at night, HBO was on, they were playing the original Fright Night. That's what it was.
That's what it was.
And there was like too much screaming and monsters and stuff. And Johanna's like, please just turn it off. And I'm like, what? She's like, I can't turn it off. And I'm like, okay. Because she was just so drunk that like the screaming was like upsetting her and making her nauseous. But it was not Evil Dead 2. Fright Night was remade.
Yes, it was. Yeah. No.
Colin Farrell was really good in it. It could have been a good movie, but it wasn't great. And they made a sequel. We have the sequel. So there is
right there. I see it.
So there is a Fright Night 2 to the original, but then they actually made a direct-to-video sequel to the remake.
Huh.
So I've never actually watched it. Anyway, Ash vs. Evil Dead.
So good.
Fucking phenomenal.
I don't even know where to start with it. It is, every single actor in it is so phenomenal. The storyline is phenomenal. The comedy is it, and it's just so great.
The confusing continuity is great.
Oh, I love it.
Because everyone's always like, wait a minute, Evil Dead 1 and 2, it's like, Did he go back to the cabin with a different Linda? Because that makes no sense. And they never answered it.
Yeah.
And I love season 3 when he meets his daughter and he goes to the high school. And he goes, over there is where I met my first Linda. So then you're sitting there like, yes, wait,
oh my God.
Did he go back to the, like, is that implying that he did do multiple trips?
It's so good. The only, they make fun, this is the thing, they just make fun of themselves.
The only problem was they couldn't use any Army of Darkness stuff. They tried to, and I know
they had a whole thing with Army of Darkness, but it
I mean, they tried to get some of that humor and stuff, like with the little dolls that were attacking him and everything, but it would have been nice to see Evil Ash, like the
but they did. Ash. Yes, I know. But to make up with Evil Ash, there was the puppet.
Ashy Slashy. Ashy Slashy.
Yes. Thank you. Every time I go to a con, like a horror con, I always see the puppet and I always want to buy it, but it's always expensive. But like, I've always wanted the Ash puppet. Now, I think it's amazing. I love it so much.
So
it's one of my favorite scenes in the entire series is with the puppet.
I like where your head's at. Almost as much as I like where your nub's at. Ooh.
Oh. Also when they're in the bar though too, and they're like, Ashley, Slashy Ash, or Ashy Slashy.
Ashy Slashy.
Ashy Slashy's back, and it's written everywhere over.
The town thinks he murdered his sister and all his friends.
They just think
he's a crazy guy.
The dad's insane.
Spoilers. No, I'm kidding.
The dad is awesome. The dad is fantastic.
His dad is Lee Majors from The Million Dollar Man.
Yes.
I think I sent you a clip. It's not quite your name, but it's close. We finally found out what Jay meant in his name, and his whole name is Ashley Joanna Williams.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And at one point, like, Ash is like, well, thanks for that name, Dad. It's like the girliest name.
It is just, the effects in it is fantastic. The over the top gore.
The pale demon whose gums stay still and the rest of them shake.
Oh my
that
God.
Scared the shit out of me. That thing is terrifying.
It's terrifying, but it's so good. And it's over the top, but it's
now,
good.
What made you want to throw up more? The cadaver and poop scene in season 2 or the sperm bank scene in season 3? I was gagging at the poop scene. Oh yeah, Joanna, a corpse comes to life, and literally Bruce Campbell's head just goes into its asshole, and he's like, not the butt, and the dick is flapping and everything.
It's so funny.
But then season 3, he's at a sperm bank, and the nurse is attacking him, like hitting him with semen. And both times, I was like,
so funny.
I couldn't watch. It was so gross.
It's so funny. I hate stuff like when you. I'm not the biggest like poop joke kind of fan and stuff like that, but like they did it so well to where I'm just like it's good. It wasn't like what is it? What's the trauma movie all trauma movies? Redneck Zombie, right?
Okay.
Redneck Zombie. Like there's so much over the top, like disgusting kind of. I'm just like I like it, but some of them are like all right, I get it. I bust out laughing with Ash vs. Evil Dead. It just, it's a whole nother level. They do it well. It looks good.
Ash has got some funny one-liners too. I love when he messes up sayings. He's like, I'm an alone wolf. And they're like, oh, that's not really.
So us?
It's just, it's so, they make fun. It's, oh, and like, I know, all he wants is to like retire like Florida.
And Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
A city so nice, they named it Jacksonville.
it is just,
I do know some people who didn't like it too much. They thought he was a little too cartoony. I won't name names people who don't like it, okay? I'm not going to say Dick Masterson. I won't say something God like Dick Masterson didn't like.
How's a man with the name Dick not like fun?
He really loves Army of Darkness, but he like
it's
hated
a different
he
style.
Hated Ash vs. Evil. But again, I'm not going to tell but anyone that Dick Masterson did not like Ash vs. Evil Dead, because that would be rude.
That would be
rude.
Really
I would
rude.
Never say something like Dick Masterson. Also, I would never say Dick Masterson doesn't like The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing. Because that would make him look really bad. And I don't want to make Dick Masterson, who doesn't like The Thing,
why?
Look bad by saying Dick Masterson doesn't like The Thing.
See, I can understand why, but I mean, bad taste.
Yeah. Anyway. So Ash vs. Evil Dead. I like that it ended on a cliffhanger. People were mad about that, but I'm like, but all the movies end on cliffhangers. So it's only appropriate that the final.
I still want more seasons.
It would be fun.
Yeah. Usually I'm like, don't do another season. It was good. But
I think it was a good three act thing. He met his daughter. It was pretty nice. I'm glad Kelly ended up not being his daughter. I kind of like her as her own thing.
Oh, yeah. They gave
him a daughter, but it wasn't Kelly.
It wasn't Kelly. The Kelly should not be his daughter.
No. You hear that, JJ? You don't have to make everyone someone's daughter.
No, that's gross. That's a fetish. It's a fetish. No. Ash vs. Evil Dead is... I can sit there and watch that over and over and over and over and over. I think it was absolutely phenomenal. Such a great reboot.
Good.
Phenomenal.
Did you have another one?
I guess like newer MonsterVerse stuff. Not that necessarily anything really so much improved. It just brought it back to life.
Compared to other reboots of Godzilla, the current reboot of Godzilla did it a little bit better.
All the Kong movies were solid.
Yeah, you're talking about the newer ones, right?
Yeah, like the Peter Jackson one and the
Peter Jackson one was
Skull
good.
Skull Island.
I really love the Peter Jackson one.
Yeah, I remember.
I know. It is a little too long. Now that I'm older, I'm like, it's a little too long. But yeah, the new Kong, I think we mentioned in our commentary track available on Patreon. I went into it not realizing it was going to be like a big budget remake of the Toho Kong. But once you go in with that mindset, it's really good.
Yeah.
The new Godzillas, I like that he looked like Godzilla. Like, you can look at him and be like, I know who that is. Not like...
He's a chunky boy.
Not like if,
in love with him.
Chris, I'm like, who's this? You'd be like, I don't fucking know, an iguana?
I was gonna say, a fucking iguana? An
iguana with T-Rex legs? The fuck is that, Tony? I don't know what that is.
It looks like it would be one of my pets.
Yeah, but then you see the new Godzilla and you're like, oh, that's Godzilla.
Yeah.
They were a lot of fun. I wish they were more about, like...
I just love the size does matter.
Yeah. From what I remember, I read this years ago, Phantom Menace.
It's true.
Phantom Menace's website, when it came out, they put plot does matter to make fun of Godzilla after Godzilla's being panned. Yeah. Yeah. Phantom Menace should not have been pointing fingers, as we all learned. But yeah, no, I wish they were more about like, you know, the lessons you're supposed to learn from Godzilla.
Well, I mean,
they went more towards
also Toho stuff eventually did also do the same. It started with the message and then it got super fucking goofy and dumb.
I do like how in just four movies, and we might have mentioned this in our Godzilla versus Kong review, how it went from like the gritty realistic, oh, these monsters are natural thing, blah, blah, blah. And then the fourth one, it's like, now we're taking a spaceship to the center of the world where there's another dimension that has a miniature sun, and that's where all the King Kongs and Godzillas come from. And you're like, what? It's when you watch the original Toho's. It took a few movies for Godzilla to go to space. This one, it's like, yep, we're already weird. Ghidorah has never looked better.
I also loved Mothra.
But her head was too small. No, her head's too small.
No, I think she was perfect because she is perfect.
Is there any Mothra that you don't like?
I don't think so. Mm. There's actually really not a lot of bit. What was the one, Godzilla vs. Sea Monster, where she's like asleep for half the movie and just shows up at the end in like a glorified cameo?
just the entire time. I'm just going to sleep. Oh, you need me? Okay, hello. All right,
there's like a whole movie where they're just trying to wake Mothra up just to save people at the end. She was kind of pointless in that.
When Tony tries to wake me up to come in so we can do reviews, and I'm just like, I'm sleeping. Sorry.
Yeah, there's actually not a lot of like bad movies built around Mothra. Even like her trilogy from the 90s is really good.
Yeah, because it's Mothra.
Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, no, the MonsterVerse, it could have been a lot worse. I know some people aren't really thrilled with it.
Yeah, like, I can understand frustrations and everything, whatever, but it still brought life back to Godzilla stuff, in at least here.
Yeah, I can go into a store and get Godzilla toys again. It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome.
You keep getting more and more and more.
Well, these are different. These are different. Well, this movie is why we stopped getting cool Godzilla toys in the 90s. They were making awesome Godzilla toys that
we all
grew up with.
Thank you, Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, and then this movie came out, and the studio was like, you're only allowed to make Godzilla toys.
Fucking asshole.
They're like, you can only make Godzilla toys based off our design.
Bitch.
Are you done talking about that guy who killed two women driving on the
island? I already said he's a murderer.
She already said it.
Did you not hear me muttering? I'm just your fucking horse wife.
Damn.
Anyway. I like her, but she's with him, so...
Do you think he's ever going back to the Irish countryside?
I highly doubt it.
After what he got off with, I'd be going there all the time. I'd just be doing whatever I want. I'm like, $700? Yeah, fuck it. Woo! He killed two people. Anyway.
And didn't even apologize.
Maybe he did.
The family said they heard nothing from him. Yeah.
What was that, when the How Did This Get Made podcast was actually good and listenable, unlike it is now, they told a story during that movie he did, what was it, Deck the Halls? Some Christmas movie he did. They knew an actor who overheard Matthew Broderick say, this is the bottom, like, this is, like, the bottom of my career. And they were like, you killed two people! How is this worse than that?
Oh, my God.
I miss when that show was good. I miss when How Did This Get Made was really good. Someone let me know if it got better. Someone let me know if June and Paul are off the show. Those are the same things. Anyway, thank you. Someone reboot that show. Thank you for coming and rebooting my two guests, my two very famous guests. I mean, we had to settle for two less famous people, but I hope the audience didn't abandon us when I reboot it midway through. Scissors are here. I will fight you.
I can make anything into a weapon.
Look. We just take those wires.
There's so many things that we have. I mean, look at him. I can just punch him in the face. It's okay.
Oh, fuck you. All right.
We don't need weapons for him.
That was a great episode. Thank you, guys. Where can everyone listen to us and watch us?
Here.
Yeah, what they're listening and watching us on right now, that's one.
Hack also, the there's Castella, but apparently we don't do episodes anymore.
Well, we're both guilty of that. We got to do one this week. Are yes, we speaking of Godzilla, we do have a Godzilla podcast, Castella versus the Pod Monster. It is it's updated semi-frequently.
It's November.
It is.
My Mothra statue's coming soon.
We will be seeing a Mothra statue soon. And you can go to Hack
the Movie. It's sold out now.
You can go to hackthemovies.com.
I have one.
Would you shut up?
No. How does it feel, Tony? How does it feel? Talking over you. You just talk. I love my voice. Talk. Look what you've done.
I knocked over Leonard Nimoy. Go to hackthemovies.com where you can watch or listen to us.
I don't know what's like if you watch us on mute or if you listen to us without seeing us.
What?
I feel like
if you have to pick one,
I feel like I would rather watch because there's a lot of things that we just like, for example, that falling, you don't get to see that.
But if you don't hear it, I'm saying if you had to watch and not hear or hear without watch.
Oh, I thought you were talking about whether podcaster, but
no. But like you could just
watch and imagine not hear because I would love to not hear Tony's voice.
That's what I was thinking. And you can just make up what he says.
You can make a voice for him because it's like, oh, you can actually like make him really, sound like a normal, nice person.
That's really mean.
This is really great.
That's really mean. Every night I go to sleep to a playlist of Hack the Movie so I can hear your lovely voices lull me into dreamland.
You're an absolute liar. No one wants to hear my voice.
No. He does it to hear his own voice.
Yeah, he wants to hear himself talk.
He wants to hear his own voice. He edits the clips to where it's just him talking.
It's only Tony cuts.
His own, like, ASMR.
You know what's funny?
Only Hack the Movies, every Hack the Movies that ever exists, but no one else. Just his voice.
Speaking of reboots, this show was a reboot. kind of.
You're not wrong.
But on the old show, Rental Reviews, there was
women.
There was
Justin Silverman.
There was an angry fan.
Justin Silverman hates women?
He hates women.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Heard it first here.
Something problematic about Justin Silver. No, on the old show,
Kieran just exists.
Kieran's great.
This might shock you guys, but there was an angry fan who didn't like us. And he would edit rental. Yeah. He would edit rental reviews, but get rid of all of our stuff so it was just James talking. But it wouldn't make any sense.
Good for that person.
So it just seemed, it was just awkward jump cuts of James just saying disconnected sentences. It was real bizarre. So that's what I do with this show. And I go to sleep listening to me talk.
This is what I just said.
Stay tuned for voicemails if I'm back to doing it. I kind of fell off of it for a while, but hopefully I'm back. Make sure to
stop
join
being
our-
so lazy. Can you do your job? This is your only job
up.
Here.
Shut
yeah,
up.
Yeah, that's your only job. How are you fucking up the family?
How do you fuck this up? I work a full-time job. I drive 2 hours to do this here. Multiple times a week, it feels like, at this point. And yet you can't even do a fucking voicemail episode?
I need a janitor in the store if you want to move.
People are calling and leaving precious, amazing voicemails with their own personal time, and you're too fucking famous to deal with that? What a fucking asshole.
I will get back to it. Crystal, you can quit your job, come here. You can be a janitor.
You're gonna pay me?
In exposure. And I'll put a cot.
What exposure?
We can put a cot in the closet where Jessica is. You won't be able to
sleep with Jessica?
You won't be able to sleep there when she's editing because she needs the space. But when she's not editing, you can go in and sleep there as long as it's not during work hours. Yeah, and it would be great. And then you'd just be here to do videos all the time.
Will you feed me?
No. Anyway, that's it from us. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hello, everyone. I am back with a voicemail segment. Haven't done one of these in a long time. Sorry about that. Sorry this podcast version was late being uploaded. Things got really busy, as I've been saying in videos. Things got very busy in October. A lot of things happened that I'm not going to get into. But yeah, it was a lot of sudden changes in Tony's life, work and personally. But yeah, we're back on track. I'm trying to get back on track. Because things are good. Don't take it the wrong way. Things are going well. Things are going well. They just got very bumpy for a little bit. But yes, I have 4 voicemails. I have not listened to them yet. I grabbed them at random. So Jesus Christ, I hope they're fine. Let's see who this is from.
This is Corey. Sorry I haven't called the program as much lately. I've had a pretty busy month.
It's the programmer.
Month so far, you know. Work and my wife and daughters burned to death in a fire. Oh. But, you know.
Well, now I feel bad about mentioning about my month being rough. His family burned to death in a fire, but he seems to be taking it well.
No, I was just thinking about the Beetlejuice review. You know, maybe if you picked up the phone, Alec Baldwin wouldn't have been so angry. And maybe that anger stuck with him. Just food for thought. You have a wonderful day.
Oh, man. Did I make Alec Baldwin kill that person? I hope not. Okay, let's see who's next.
Hey, Tony. You know, I have no problem watching the commercials. I'm just finished okay. with the Frankenstein one.
Yeah.
But they are putting like 15, 16, 17-minute long commercials during your show.
You better be watching all 15 or 16 minutes of that commercial. Watch the whole thing. You hit skip ad, I'm coming to your house and slapping you.
Hey, Tony. You know, I have no problem
restarted
the commercials. I'm just finished up the Frankenstein one. But they are putting like 15, 16, 17-minute long commercials during your show. I hope they make bank for you. What the hell's wrong with them? There and watch Making a Far Cry and blah, blah, blah. I don't give a crap about any of that stuff. I'm here to watch Hack the Movie.
Yeah.
Not some asshole playing video games.
Exactly.
When I watch that, I'll do another channel. There's a couple of them out there I do watch. I want to watch movies, not video games right now. Thank you. Have a good day.
You are welcome. Who's next?
What is the fucking problem? Why is...
Oh, this is that angry guy.
Every episode, just the Brotherhood of Ugly Mutants in the basement. This is why people do not want to sponsor the show.
Oh.
Pull your head out of your ass. Oh. My fucking God. Week after week, show after show, a bunch of ugly guys talking about just shit B-movies.
Okay.
Either get good looking people or pick better movies. How can you fuck them both up? Christ's sakes. Goddamn mutants.
I'm sorry. I will try to get better looking gentlemen on the show. They can't all be as good looking as me. But I hope you are doing well. Anyway, that is it for the voicemails. Eh? Like I said, I only grabbed a few. Hopefully I'll sit down next week and pump a bunch of these out and you guys can all enjoy that. Yes, thanks for sticking with the show. Thanks for your continued support. And yeah, I love you. Goodbye.
Remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Check out our other videos and Patreon page.